So I wonder if you know, what are the odds of these particular things perhaps happening to you? What are the odds of being injured by a toilet this year? Apparently, it's 1 in 10,000. What are the odds of winning an Oscar? 1 in 11,500. Of finding a pearl in an oyster? 1 in 12,000. Of being struck by lightning? 1 in 114,195, to be quite precise. Of getting attacked by a shark? 1 in 3,748,067. Of dying from parts of falling off of an aeroplane? 1 in 10 million. So I think we're all right there. Of winning the lottery? 1 in 46 million. Of becoming a billionaire? Pretty much no odds at all. The odds are all pretty slim of these things happening to ordinary you and I, aren't they? Some of this is about chance. Some of this is being in the right or the wrong place at the right or the wrong time. Some of it is about good or bad decision making. And as I read this morning, this morning's Bible reading, I find myself asking at the end, what are actually the odds of something like this happening, of this coming together in such a perfect way? And it's so incredible how it all did come together. But the reality is, this encounter had the almighty odds working for it. Because of the divine intervention, things happened that just wouldn't ordinarily happen. The Bible is full of examples of how God works and brings together things in amazing and perhaps unbelievable ways. Through angels, a burning bush, a donkey, a still small voice, a wet fleece, a 33-year-old carpenter, an old rugged cross. And the way we respond to God's direction by the many varied ways he communicates and directs us is what brings about these almighty odds stacked for us of something incredible and perhaps seemingly unbelievable happening. And as we focus on Philip this morning, we see a man that is determined to follow God's direction, regardless of how unusual the circumstances and the call is. This is about obedience, whatever the cost, however outlandish it may seem. Our theme for Candidate Sunday is be obedient. And I want us to consider just now three things about Philip in this encounter, which encompasses this idea of being obedient. And through it, perhaps we'll gain some courage, some more understanding or confirmation for ourselves about what it means for us to be obedient. So firstly, Philip was open. Now, Philip is only mentioned three times in the Bible. When we're first introduced to him, he's being nominated by the church to be a deacon to help take some of the distribution of food to widows in the congregation. It's not really a high-profile job, but Acts 6 tells us that he and another six men who helped in this ministry were required to be men known to be full of spirit and wisdom. Not too long after Philip was given this responsibility, King Herod began to persecute the church in Jerusalem, executing the apostles James and imprisoning Peter. Many Christians, including Philip, fled for their lives to other cities and regions. Philip went north about 35 miles to the region of Samaria and promptly began to share his faith with the people in a city there. We're not told how big this city was, but as soon as he arrived, he began preaching about Jesus and converted nearly the entire city to Christ. Now today, if you want to be a preacher, most churches require that you be ordained. Most churches would require a preacher to have done at least a diploma at theological college. But as far as we know, no human ordained Philip to become a preacher, nor had he studied at any theological college. So why was Philip preaching? Because he was open to being used by God. And as a result, this deacon of the church changed the lives of many, many people. In addition, because he was open to allowing God to use him in that city, God gave him another special assignment. Philip was sent to preach to a high official from the court of the Queen of Ethiopia. Now I got to thinking, why did God send Philip to perform this important task? The Ethiopian eunuch was an important person. You'd think that God at least would have sent Peter or John or Andrew or one of the other apostles to speak with him. But he didn't. Why not? Why not send in the important church leaders to preach to the treasurer from Ethiopia? Why send Philip? He's not nearly as important as those other guys. But, you know, this wasn't the only time God has done this. Remember the story of Paul's conversion to Christ? Paul on the road to Damascus, Jesus confronts him, blinds him, and then sends him on to Damascus to wait for someone to come to talk to him. And who does God send to give this special message to Paul? This man that would become such a powerful leader in the church. This man who would plant so many new churches and would write nearly half of the New Testament. Who does God send? He sends someone called Ananias. Ananias is mentioned in the scripture once. That's it. And even then, we know virtually nothing about him. We don't know if he was a leader in his local congregation, whether he'd ever been given any special responsibilities before. Ananias was a seemingly minor player in the early Christian church. A godly man, no doubt, but seemingly not one of the powerful leaders of the church of his day. Why would God do it that way? You know, I believe it's so important that we understand that he doesn't need the important Christians to share our faith with others. He wants all Christians to share their faith. This special privilege of talking to other people about Jesus is not the domain of the super Christians, the Nicky Gumbels, the Rick Warrens, the Brian Peddles of this world. Bringing people to Christ is what all believers ought to strive for. That's full-time ministry. As Christians, we all have the call to minister on a full-time basis to people. If we were to be open to this like Philip, and I think that we all need to be as followers of Christ, then there are certain characteristics that we need to exude for us to be effective in this. Firstly, we need to be eager to do this. You can't win people to Christ if they can't see any excitement for Jesus in your life. We're told that when the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it, Philip ran up to the chariot. That's what it says. And that suggests to me that Philip was excited about telling this man about Jesus. He didn't want to miss the opportunity to share his faith. Philip realized that sharing his faith with others was important to God and that there was virtually nothing else in this world that was nearly as significant. There was an eagerness in this approach, a fire in his heart. Our excitement for Jesus should be a bit like the excitement of the little boy that I read about this week. A family had spent the day moving to a new house. And early the next morning, the three-year-old ran up into his parents' bedroom to wake them up. Mum got him dressed and told him to play in the garden while they sorted things out in the house. About 20 minutes later, he came running back into the house, all excited, shouting, "Mummy, Mummy, everyone has a doorbell and they all work!" That's the kind of excitement we need in our faith. And maybe it might be a little bit annoying at times. But there's no mistaking how much we love Jesus. There should be no mistaking. And secondly, in our openness, we need to be available. Philip was happy to talk about Jesus whenever there was an opportunity. Perhaps sometimes we're a bit reticent to do so because we're afraid of the response. We don't feel like we'll have the words because we think that others are better at it than us. Or we don't feel that our faith is strong enough. But we shouldn't sell ourselves short. In the eyes of God, our value as witnesses does not depend on our ability. Our value depends on our availability. In our openness to God's direction, are we eager? Are we available? And then secondly, Philip was obedient. The Spirit tells Philip to go, and he goes. Philip doesn't know exactly where he's going or why he's going. The Lord instructed him to take the south road from Jerusalem to Gaza. He doesn't ask questions. He just goes. He just obeys. Philip may not have known exactly what was going on. He may not have seen the big picture yet. But I reckon that Philip had served the Lord enough to know that when the Lord speaks in this way, he's going to do something exciting. And I also reckon that Philip, this willing, obedient servant, had to be excited in anticipation as to what the Lord was about to do. And excited that the Lord wanted him to be involved in it. I love those words, and Philip ran. That's how I know Philip was excited to be used by God. This is a story of obedience. Philip was obedient to the call of God. Have you ever felt that nudge that you knew was coming from God? to go somewhere to speak to someone about Christ? Have you ever questioned the command, maybe thought, what will they think about me if I talk to them about religion? Or I wouldn't know what to say. The bottom line has to be that we need to obey. Perhaps Philip didn't know it, but there was a soul at stake. There was an eternity riding on his obedience. And perhaps we need to understand that telling someone about what God has done in our lives isn't a matter of embarrassment. It's a matter of eternity, folks. Philip understood the need to obey God. No questions recorded. No other commitments. God said go. Philip did not say no. Philip could have said, I'm doing a good work here. It's not the right time. Lord, am I the only Christian around here? How about sending someone else? Not the desert. No one lives there. God, don't you know this is the place to be in Samaria? Look what's happening around us. It didn't seem to make a lot of sense in the whole context of where he was and what he was doing. But Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways mine, my ways, declares the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul goes on to say, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. James Boyce writes in his commentary on Acts, although Christianity is not an irrational thing, and although none of us are called to be irrational, nevertheless, when we are engaged in spiritual work, there is always going to be areas we will not fully understand. We will find ourselves asking, why does God do that? Or why does he do that rather than something else? That's just the way it's going to be. God doesn't want us to remain in our comfortable seats, because that's when we make our own decisions for our own lives and don't allow him a look in. And so sometimes I reckon that God's testing our obedience and our faith in him, perhaps by asking us to do things which just don't make sense. Philip didn't question God. Philip didn't question God's timing or the direction God sent him in. He simply obeyed. There's a lot to be said for that. And finally, Philip was an operative of God. So let's go right back to what I said at the beginning when I was talking about what are the odds of this happening. What are the odds of these two men would be brought together? Two completely different people, different backgrounds, different cultures, traveling on the same road. What are the odds? What are the odds that this man had questions about what he was reading and Philip just happened to be there to explain what it was talking about and to lead the Ethiopian into accepting Christ as his saviour and being baptised? What are the odds? But we all have these almighty odds going for us when we are open, obedient to and are operatives of the Almighty. God is wanting to involve us and use us for his almighty kingdom work. Philip allowed God to use him. God gave him the right words to say, the right answers to the Ethiopian's questions. God directed him to the right thing. God was at work, and he moved Philip to join him in what he was doing, and Philip got to be part of something awesome. For those of us who at any point in life has been obedient to God's direction, the odds might have been stacked against us. It may not have made much sense. It might have been a jolly difficult thing to do, and we've had to travel like Philip through the desert. It might have been a real sacrifice. It might have taken us absolutely out of our comfort zones. But my goodness, I absolutely believe the thrill and fulfillment of knowing God is using you, making you his operative in some work he is doing for his kingdom, is worth all the tears and the doubts and the hard work. It's worth it, friends. It is worth it. So today, I wonder if you're determined to follow God's guidance through his Holy Spirit, turning away from your own desires and directions to be guided by the word of God and the light of Christ. This morning, has he guided you to give your life to Christ? This morning, has he guided you to be obedient to his call to a specific ministry? As an officer, as a territorial envoy, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, a volunteer, a soldier, an adherent, or simply a committed Christian? this morning as he guided you to a closer relationship with him. This morning as he called you to go to an unlikely place, an unknown place, an uncomfortable or unlikely time. In being obedient, open and operative to his call, I absolutely believe that you will find out the amazing things that God can do. That's living life to the full. Friends, let's just be obedient, eh? Let's just be obedient. And so as we just take a few moments just to reflect on these words and perhaps listen to what God has to say to us, I want us to pick up that song that we've just sung a few moments ago. I want us to look at this second verse that says, "Teach us, Lord, full obedience." What is that? What does that mean for you today? What does obedience mean for you today? That he would teach us holy reverence, true humility, test our thoughts and our attitudes. Are we being real here in the radiance of your purity? Cause our faith to rise. Cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Even if it doesn't make sense, let the truth prevail. We're going to just pick up that verse just now and just allow the Lord to speak to you and just listen to him so that we can just be still, not have to worry about singing, but that we can just be still and listen to what the Lord has to say to us just now. So let's just do that. Loving and sustaining God, you call us to obedience, to follow you in all things, to give up the things we cling to and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to your purposes. We confess that we don't always find this easy to do. We confess that it's often very difficult to let go of the things we love. But we also know that you never ask more of us than what is possible, and that you stand ready at all times to sustain us and to provide everything we need. Give us courage to faithfully follow your leading, even when we cannot see the outcome, even when the path you call us to seems impossible to comprehend. Help us to trust in you in all things, to let go of everything that would stand in the way of wholehearted obedience to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Amen.